the Point Radio.
Hey, it's Mike Robb. After two decades, the science fiction film 12 Monkeys now is evolving into a new sci-fi network TV series. But is there enough DNA left to make it work? We talked to the stars to find out. Let's get to the point.
This is the point. The Point Radio. Get the Point Radio.
The 1995 science fiction classic film 12 Monkeys is now evolving into a new series on the Sci-Fi Network. The cast is led by Aaron Stanford and Amanda Schull, who first told me how they got the roles.
I would say, you know, I got scripts before Aaron, and I did go into the hopper before Aaron did. But I think it wasn't until Aaron and I had a chemistry read together that they finalized their casting. I'd say that that was really when it was all sealed up. Wouldn't you say, Aaron?
Yeah, I would say. You know, it was a confusing casting process, and that's usually how casting processes are. You know, they can be sort of a mess because you're looking for something very specific, and you're looking for oftentimes a very important chemistry between two characters. So they don't necessarily want to nail one person down until they're sure who the other person is going to be, and they're sure if those people are going to have that sort of intangible, ephemeral thing between them, you know, that spark. I can tell you the final round for me was coming in and reading with Amanda. And it was a great experience. They really put us through it. There was a lot of improv, and she came 100% prepared and ready, and it was extraordinarily helpful. And you know, we made something happen in the room, and I think that's how I got the part anyway, at least.
Chemistry between these two characters is crucial to the show, so I was curious how they all got it to work out, especially beginning with Aaron.
Like most of the show, and I think what makes the show great is that there's a little bit of all of that in every episode. I mean, the humor is always there. There's definitely some, you know, some things that need to be resolved amongst some of the characters, particularly some things with Claudia and her sister, and Artie's involvement with that. So, I mean, that stuff's a little bit sort of heavier dealing with all that stuff. But there's always the humor. There's always light beats, even, and funny beats, even in the most serious situation. So I think there's all of that, you know what I mean? And I think that there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of weight to these last episodes because we're wrapping up the show. But that being said, it's always fun.
And for Amanda?
I could add to that, though. I mean, working with Aaron just from a personal level, not just, you know, from the character level, he shows up to set very prepared, and he gives you 110% for every single scene, for every single take. And so I think that helps with just our on-set chemistry, which hopefully translates to the on-camera chemistry, that it's nice working with someone who gives you as much as you give them, and you can have an equal relationship. And that has allowed us to be honest with the material, because we both invest completely into each character.
The foundation of the show here is the bond of trust that has to be formed between both Aaron and Amanda on the show, for which Aaron's character, Cole, isn't easy to get to at first.
You have something that you know to be the truth. You know that it's fact, but to everyone else, it seems completely impossible. It seems like it could not possibly be true. So it's a very frustrating situation to be put in. You know, it's a pretty tall order to get someone to believe something that is impossible. So, you know, what he ends up having to do in that scene, you know, he gives her information here and there that, you know, they start to sway her a little bit, but, you know, eventually he realizes the only way to prove to someone that the impossible is true is really show them something happen right in front of their eyes. And that's what he ends up having to do.
And from Amanda's perspective?
Well, from my perspective, I think for Dr. Raley, it's exactly what Aaron just said, that it was really just the proof is is not anything that he could possibly say. It's something that she sees with her own eyes. She trusts herself. She doesn't trust this man in front of her. So she trusts what she sees, and she knows that to be true, which is what sort of allows her to go on this ridiculous journey with him, because she knows what she saw and she knows her own intelligence. Otherwise, nothing he said would matter.
So I ask Aaron, has the show developed? Anything surprised him so far?
Well, the very first unexpected thing that I came across was that essentially time travel is possible. It's mathematically possible. It's been proven to be so, which was not something I was aware of. I thought it was entirely a flight of fancy and fiction. But the truth is, they essentially know how to do it. It's just a matter of having the technology and the resources to do it. So that was an eye-opener for me.
So to create the character of Cole in the TV series, did Aaron take anything from the original version?
You know, it was a really interesting role for Bruce Willis, what he did with it. You know, he's generally remembered for, you know, really his action roles. He's remembered as John McClane. And he really brought this childlike innocence to the role in 12 Monkeys, and it was expressed in his experience of our present, you know, of our mm-hmm. world. And this was a man coming from an, you know, unimaginably unpleasant, difficult place, where all of the, you know, pleasures, comforts, and everything, art, it was all taken, stripped away from him. So his experience of our world was very similar to that of a newborn. He was experiencing everything for the very first time, and I really liked that choice and that idea. So I did try to bring a little bit of that to my performance as well.
Well, it is a show about time travel. So if that was really possible, where would they both like to go?
Maybe I would just like to go and hide out, but witness dinosaurs sort of roaming the mm-hmm. earth. I think that would be fascinating.
It'd be pretty cool. I mean, the difficulty is this, is that, you know, all these periods throughout history are, they're fascinating. But the question is, would you really want to go there? Because we're all really spoiled now, right? I mean, do you really want to give up hot showers? You know, you want to give up indoor plumbing. You want to give up all your conveniences. So I think if I could go anywhere in time, I would go to a fictional future where they had created a holodeck, like on Star Trek. And then you could visit any place you want throughout history with all of the modern comedians.
There are new episodes of 12 Monkeys every Friday on Sci-Fi, and you can always catch more at sci-fi.com, keyword 12 Monkeys. Golden Globes coming up, but here's what's going on right now in pop culture. It's the first big business move in comics for the new year. IDW has acquired Top Shelf Productions. They'll continue to publish books under the Top Shelf imprint. Chris Stratos will continue to be editor-in-chief of Top Shelf, as he has been for the past few years as well. Basically, for IDW, it's a chance to expand their brand, and for Top Shelf, it's a chance to get an influx of capital that'll help them expand, too, in 2015. All right, grab your overcrowded list of superhero movies to be released over the next few years and add a few more things to it. For example, the X-Men spinoff Gambit has been announced by Fox. That'll premiere in theaters on October the 7th, 2016 as well. Assassin's Creed will be out that same year on December the 21st. And Fantastic Four 2, not to be confused with Fantastic Four 1 set for later this year, has now been moved to June of 2017. The next round of pilot shows is set to hit Amazon Prime in the next few days. Now, this includes some pretty interesting stuff. For example, comedies Cocked and Mad Dogs, the docuseries The New Yorker Presents, the drama The Man in the High Castle, and the one a lot of people are looking at, Carlton Cuse's Civil War-themed Point of Honor. All the shows go up on Amazon next Thursday, the 15th, and those with the most viewerships will be given series awards later in the spring from Amazon. Vikings is headed back to the History Channel. Season 3 premieres on February 19th. If you want to catch up on the first two seasons, and a lot of us do, you can do that right now on Hulu and Amazon as well. Showtime is free all weekend long, starting today and running through Sunday. The free preview weekend gives you a chance to sample a lot of good stuff, like episodes of Homeland, The Affair, Penny Dreadful, Ray Donovan, Masters of Sex, and so many more. And the premiere this weekend, of course, of the new seasons of Shameless and Episodes. Check with your local cable provider to make sure you're part of the free preview weekend. That's a wrap on the podcast, but when we're back, we're bringing along the delightful Amber Benson. Actress, yes, but more importantly, best-selling author. And we'll tell you how she bridged that gap. In the meantime, keep up with us on Twitter, Facebook, and, of course, Instagram, under The Point Radio. And catch the podcast in the iTunes podcast directory and on websites like ComicMix.com, MichaelDavisWorld.com, and GetThePointRadio.com. See you back here in a few days. Get the-